This is Covenant Eyes Radio, helping you in your journey to stay pure online. Covenant Eyes encourages and equips people to find accountability relationships in the fight against internet temptation. But it's important to have a vision for what helpful accountability looks like. This is why I recently contacted Dr. Larry Crabb, a well-known Christian psychologist and Bible teacher. Dr. Crabb has a passion to help churches, small groups, and Christian friends to have the kind of relationships and conversations that inspire real growth and lasting change in our lives.
My burden is to see churches become a supernaturally powerful place at a relational level. How do we talk to one another in a way that arouses the love and good deeds, the love that is in us and the good deeds that we're called to? How can I talk to you in a way that releases a momentum towards that? And when you get together with other Christians, when you hear your pastor preaching, the worship team leading you, when you're talking to people over coffee afterward, getting your small groups, I want that desire to be stirred up so you leave not so much feeling, well, I have to do what God says, but I get to do what God says.
Today, Dr. Crabb will elaborate on these ideas and introduce his book, Soul Talk, the language God longs for us to speak. Well, Larry, in a few of your books, you mention Hebrews 3:13, which calls us to exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And you explain that there's a level of interaction and conversation that we in the church are meant to have with one another that actually helps us to see how sin is operating on the heart level, not just on the surface. This is a lot of what Soul Talk is about and what several of your books are about. Why did you write Soul Talk, and what were some of the burdens on your heart that led to this work?
One of my major mentors is a fellow named Dr. James Houston, the founder of Regent College of Vancouver. And one of my favorite lines from Jim is this. He said that the reason we need community is because our hearts are deceitful. And he gets that from the verse he just quoted in Hebrews. The idea that there's something going on in me that really is self-centered in ways that I can't see, but you can feel it when I talk to you, if I know you well, and can you respond to me out of love and talk with me in a way that helps me see where I'm not pursuing the goal that I with all my heart want to pursue. So I'm very interested in thinking about the community of God's people as a community not of pretenders, a community of people that are broken but hopeful, a community of people that are authentic and released. The real burden, I guess, that grew into the book Soul Talk came out of my years as a psychologist. I found so many people coming to see me professionally and paying me big bucks for my fancy psychotherapy stuff that I used to do all the time. And what I came to realize is what these people needed, what I need, what you need, what everybody needs, has a lot less to do with professional expertise and has a whole lot to do with authentic relating. And what does it mean for me to speak out of the depths of what is within me as a Christian man? And can I pour that out of me into your heart where the Spirit is wanting to talk most deeply? I was talking to a guy just yesterday morning whose marriage is really, really difficult. It's a bad marriage. And as he was weeping in the corner of a restaurant over coffee the other morning, yesterday morning actually, we talked about a conversation he was having with his wife. And I said, well, tell me what would happen if you said this to her. And then his next sentence was so telling. He looked at me with eyes wide open. He says, that doesn't come naturally to me. And I said, nothing good comes naturally to any of us. It's all a question of what comes supernaturally to you and what comes supernaturally to me. And Soul Talk, in my mind, is just a term for what does it mean to talk out of the supernatural life that God has literally put within me. Could I speak in a way that you would leave the conversation feeling a little more alive to God, a little more able to move into your difficult world or your happy world, whichever the case might be, in ways that reveals the character of the God that we claim to serve. So my burden is to see churches become a supernaturally powerful place at a relational level, not just getting emotions aroused, not just getting great teaching. I'm all for that. I'm all for great teaching. Nothing's wrong with good emotions. But I want so much more than that. I want to be involved in a community of Christians where what is alive in me because of the gospel actually gets stirred up. And that's the verse in Hebrews 10 that accompanies a verse you earlier quoted, that how do we talk to one another in a way that arouses the love and good deeds, the love that is in us and the good deeds that we're called to? How can I talk to you in a way that releases a momentum towards that? And whatever that way is, that's what I'm calling Soul Talk.
Can you just give a couple different verses throughout the Scripture or a few chapters of Scripture that you really come back to again and again and again that helps to shape this theology or this, if you will, ecclesiology, how the church should be, how the church should relate, how we should interact on this soul talk level.
What I've already mentioned, the Hebrews 10, really, really strikes me, where he says in verse 24, I don't want you to stop getting together. You guys keep getting together. Don't stop. When it seems like there's no point to getting together, no. Don't stop. And when you get together, I want the deepest part of what the Spirit is doing in your heart to be nourished and released. That's Hebrews 10:24, which then followed up in verse 25. When you get together, think hard. The word is consider. The Greek literally means to pay diligent, ongoing attention to how you can talk to somebody else in a way that arouses, and the Greek there is a word that we would uncommonly use, paroxysm, kind of stir up a little fire that's gone out. How do you stir it up into a roaring bonfire? How do I stir up you? How do you stir up me so we leave our conversation more aware of our desire to love a disagreeable husband, more aware of our desire to love a kid that's driving us crazy, more aware of our desire to love a friend that's irritating us? Then I think of Ezekiel 36, one of the most famous New Covenant passages, where God says, I'm going to do something in your heart. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to move you to keep my decrees. In other words, I'm going to put a desire in you, not simply a feeling of obligation to do what you're told, but a desire to do what you're told. You're going to have a passion in the deepest part of your soul. Same thing in Jeremiah 31. Where the New Covenant has talked about that when I give you a new heart, no one is going to need a teacher simply to give you instructions. Well, your marriage is bad. Here are the 10 steps. What you need is preacher and elders and friends and counselors and pastors and companions and spouses and parents. You need people who are going to involve themselves with you conversationally in a way that's going to stir up that desire to move in good directions. And so I want to see, well, how do we get together and hear the Bible taught, and how do we have conversations, how do we have Bible studies, how do we have prayer meetings, how do we have fellowship times? How do we take all these wonderful churchy words and turn them into opportunities to release from ourselves and nourish in another the participation of the divine nature that is a biblical truth that we don't seem to believe very much these days? So those are a couple of verses that come to mind.
Oh, that's wonderful. I think about that also for Covenant Eyes and for the tens of thousands of people who right now have accountability partners. But we hear testimonies all the time of, well, you know, my accountability partnerships have kind of fallen by the wayside. We really don't get together. Truthfully, we really don't even talk that much. And unless something's red flagged on the report, I don't really hear from my partner at all. And it's a sad, sad thing, because when it comes to technology, Covenant Eyes is wonderful, but at the same time, it's really only as good as the accountability relationships you have. And so that's one of the reasons for this conversation today, is to try to point us back to the scripture, point us back to the covenant God has placed us within because of Christ, point us back to that as the basis and the foundation for a new way of relating with one another. You talk about in Soul Talk, use this imagery of dance steps. Why did you use this imagery of dancing to describe how we should think and converse with each other?
Probably because I'm a rebel. I was raised to believe dancing was sinful. I think is a more, maybe a better reason, I think. About 10, 15 years ago, I began studying the Trinity. How does anybody study the Trinity? I don't still know how to do that. But the final reality in the universe is a relationship. The final reality in the universe is the only small group that's ever gotten along really well. And they have never quit on getting along together. They never get bored being together. They're apparently very happy to be together. John Piper wrote a wonderful book called The Pleasures of God, in which he makes the statement that at first sounds kind of obvious, but then it's really rich when you think about it. God really likes being God because he's in continual relationship, and they're relating to each other in what the old theologians back in the 3rd and 4th century used to call the perichoretic dance. Perichoresis, P-E-R-I, perimeter, it means around, and choretic comes from choreography, dance. And these early theologians, when they were establishing the doctrine of the Trinity, they began talking about the Trinity as a group of three persons who were dancing with each other. I think the idea of dance gets us away from a formula, gets us away from a list of rules, gets us away from behavioral activities that we make a checklist, and, well, today I will tell my wife 3 times I love her. I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll read my Bible for 5 minutes every morning. But if you use the metaphor of dance, it really captures the deep longing in our heart to experience the beauty of a flowing and fluid relationship. Could I get close enough to a brother in Christ that there'd be something something very rhythmic that was coming out of me, not coming out of my techniques of therapy, not coming out of my skill set of relationships, but coming out of my soul, where I sense the impulse of the Holy Spirit prompting me, and whatever's alive within me that's from the Spirit, to maybe have the courage to share it with you. And that's a dance step. That's what it means to dance. So being a pretty lousy dancer, at a physical level, I thought maybe I could be a good dancer spiritually, so I like the metaphor.
Thank you for listening to Covenant Eyes Radio. In our next episode, Dr. Crabb will begin sharing about the 5 dance steps of soul talk, 5 important ways of thinking that help us to converse in a way that stirs one another up to love and good deeds. For more information on Dr. Larry Crabb, visit newwayministries.org. Listen to more podcasts on iTunes or on the Covenant Eyes blog, Breaking Free, at covenanteyes.com/blog.